It is Thursday the 29th of March, and it's episode 113 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I am Chris, and it's me with Henry. He's not here. It's me and Ian today. Hello, Ian.
Hello. That's my...
Very good. He's here in spirit.
I need to put my green suit on, but that's an old work joke, so we won't go there.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. We've just finished our natter on Draw Something, which is still going. We're still using it. There you go, a pick that we've actually used for 3 weeks. Unbelievable. But yes,
that is awesome.
It is.
That is awesome.
And an update, you said an update's coming soon to allow me to share out some of my awesome creations with the world.
You can easily share, because there's what you need to take a screenshot and then go to Twitter and then attach a screenshot. And it's all a bit of a faff.
It is a faff.
So they're going to bring an update out that you can just say, share on Twitter.
Perfect. Because see, I actually want to share... I want to share other people's drawings and say, I got this, can you?
As I said, Bernie Licking Warcraft. But I would like to see a history. I'd love to just page through older ones and say, what the hell was that, Shaq?
Perfect. Anyway, let's look forward to that. That's coming, hopefully. Let's go on with some news. Bad news to start with, but not unexpected. So Game has officially entered administration. They are having to close nearly half their stores.
But they have closed. It was immediate.
So they've closed half their stores, or nearly half their stores.
277 stores were closed on Monday.
Still leaves them with 333 stores, though, which is still a lot of stores. But nevertheless, there's obviously a lot of redundancies involved. So over 2,000 people have been made redundant. But they are hopeful that they will have a buyer.
There was a number of buyers, potential buyers. GameStop from America was one of them. There was the folk that bought Comet. I don't know if that's a good home or not, but
not sure.
Folk that bought Comet for £1 when were interested. But the rumor today is that they might come out of administration tomorrow. So a very quick turnaround. And the rumor is it's a Royal Bank of Scotland consortium.
Wow. So it would be
it's interesting
by us.
And RBS blocked one of the other buyers. So it seems a bit, I don't get how they can block other buyers and then buy it themselves.
Yeah, but we don't get a lot of things that happen in the shady old world of business, do we?
No. I still hark back to this immediate close of stores. Why didn't they do it earlier?
Yeah, but then again, that's a big asset. Although it was costing them a lot of money and probably what ultimately led them cash flow problems and all that stuff. They are good assets because they're all centre of town and big shopping mall places. So maybe that's, you know, maybe they couldn't get out of some of those contracts. But now by being in administration, they get that sort of leeway. So maybe that's
Do you not think maybe this is the death knell?
It's the
game of retail shopping for games.
Yeah,
you know, just single stored games.
It's a no brainer. You know, at Christmas, everyone and their nan goes online to shop. Because not only is it easier, you get it all delivered to your door. You don't have to move anywhere. It's quick, click a button, off you go. People are confident enough in it now, and it's cheaper. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, to be honest, Game is going now, others will follow. They'll have to find another use for the high street. I think I've said before, I think high streets are going to turn into just showrooms where you can't buy anything, or they just have little modules where you actually go to the website.
Did you see the, there's a shopping centre down south that's now closed and it's now getting used for a zombie experience?
Well, maybe that's what the high street will become.
Exactly. How cool would that be? You know, rent out this store, rent out this shopping centre for the night, and you too can be hit by zombies.
I think shopping sort of a showroom would probably work better. But I want to be a zombie for a night. Anyway.
Class.
Lovely. let's hope that they do recover. I mean, it's a massive brand and they have been trying to go around the world. They said that they're kind of aggressive movement abroad and it's probably another factor. They've just outstretched themselves, basically.
I meant to actually see it because I know their website was down Monday.
It's still down now. They've got more up there now, but they're still directing you to their physical stores. They're saying the reward cards are coming online again, but you just lose all your confidence, don't you? I mean, you know, any orders that you had, they've all gone and stuff like that. So, why again? Amazon are jumping in. Have you seen that Amazon have got all their trading deals happening now, and they've started to push them out via email? You know, talk about hitting people when they're down. I mean, obviously that was one big thing the game did, but now Amazon are doing an online service. There you go.
I'm just having a look at, you know, if I look at Glasgow, I mean, it was, I think it was 3 or 4 stores all within walking distance shut down. You know, I remember we talked about that kind of common sense approach. So if I look at it now, there's one out at south side in the big shopping centre, there's one in the east end of Glasgow, and there's one in the city centre, and that's it.
There's still, you know, so three, though. Still not.
Yeah, but there's I mean, it's 600,000
more reasonable
population, yeah. And a lot of them are pikies, you know, so they want to go and trade stuff in.
You said that, not me.
Yeah, but it's true. If you ever dare to come up to Glasgow, I'll show you some rough spots.
Yeah, I'd have to be on a brave day, maybe. racist Twitter joke. Racist Twitter user has actually been.
I think we've just been slightly racist at all.
We ought to be careful.
What a good lead that was.
Someone basically commented out racist remarks on Twitter, and they have actually gone to jail for it. I don't know what you think about this. I think good. That you know, people are accountable for what they say. What I think is necessarily bad is how inconsistent this might be being applied.
The inconsistency worries me a bit, because I've seen, and I guess it just, you need a bit of background. I mean, going on the Glasgow thing again, it was Old Firm game up here last weekend, and if you look at the amount of, I mean, it's just horrible what gets said on Twitter, and it's a small minority. It's not everybody, but
they're not arresting them, are they?
No. And they have done in the past, so they have done some action up here about that, but from last weekend it didn't seem to be very much at all. And just, I guess we should give some context. This was all around Fabrice Muamba, who had a heart attack on the pitch 2 weeks ago. So a big news story. There was obviously interest all around the world in this. And this was a young chap from Wales, a Swansea University student, who put up a couple of really... And I've actually not seen them. The papers are refusing to print them. They were that bad. I guess if I looked hard enough online, somebody will have them somewhere. I don't really want to see them.
No.
A lot of people retweeted or sort of replied to what he said, and, you know, were disgusted and reported them to Twitter. Some people also reported them to police. And actually, Strathclyde Police, almost every couple of days now, are posting up that if you see any offensive tweets or comments, or you have been offended online, you can report it to Twitter or report it to us, and we will do something about it. So they're taking a pretty, you know, open stance about, you know, they're wanting to cut this out as a, you know, almost like a vehicle. And I guess what happened with this is a few people reported him, and at first he wasn't too bothered about it, but the police tracked him down a couple of days later. It was excuses he gave. So the kind of first thing he said was that his account had been hacked. So I think this is the default position. If somebody says something on Twitter and they get it, oh, it was hacked, shrug the shoulders. He then tried to delete the page, but he was arrested, and then he blamed it in drink. At the end of the day, there's no excuse. You know,
it's about whether, you know, authority is being consistent. And I guess it's just the we've got to have the paradigm change that, you know, things you say on Twitter can get you into serious trouble. Because a lot of people use Twitter just between their friends, but sort of forgetting that it blasts out to everyone around the whole world.
I guess, but is the issue that it can be blasted out to the whole world, or is the issue that you've been abused online? If I'm in a private forum and there's a couple of hundred people in that forum, if I've been abused and I report it to the police, will they get done? And that's where it becomes a bit hazy for me. I mean, the judge when he was charging the guy, it was basically, you know, everybody was saying how everybody was, you know, heartbroken at this whole story, and that's why he had to take action. And the guy was jailed for 56 days. The guy's life's in the tatters, really, because he's been kicked out of uni, kicked out of his rugby club. And I guess he's going to have this cloud following him for quite a while now.
And I guess, you know, you wouldn't expect typing something on Twitter wouldn't have that effect, but people just got to realise that it can and it does.
Robin Hood Airport.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it can and it does. But you know, people don't always hear about those things. So,
I saw a few things actually last week. It was do's and don'ts, what you are allowed to say and what you're not. And it's just and this is the thing. It was always supposed to be a freedom of speech thing, but there are things you can't say.
Yeah, there have to be boundaries.
I'm all for that. To be honest, I thought this was a good move. But I, as you say, I'd like to see a bit more consistency, because I see one of the sports reporters up here. He, because he's reporting on Rangers and Celtic, depending on who he is reported badly on that day, he will retweet the people that comment to him. And he is Indian. I actually knew him from school, so I know he is Indian. The comments he gets are a disgrace. You know, and he's just a sports reporter reporting the news, and people just can't see by it. It's horrible.
People can be rubbish. Kindle Touch.
I like that.
We have finally got Kindle Touch. Not the Kindle Fire, unfortunately, which is obviously the one that geeks are all hanging out for. And maybe not even geeks, actually. Other people. But we have got the new one. So it's 5 months afterwards. So it kind of feels a bit meh, really. Doesn't it feel exciting? But there you go. If you're in the market for a Kindle Touch, then you can have one. £109 for Wi-Fi only, £169 for Wi-Fi and the 3G as well. That's no monthly contract, so once you've got the WhisperNet, the 3G, you can basically download your books to your heart's content. A little bit more expensive than the American versions, I guess. But we don't have the...
Henry made this point last year, that we don't get the advert discounted versions of Kindle in the UK, whereas Americans do, and this is also applying today. So there's a couple of news articles today were saying, you know, it's only $99 in America and we're paying $109, but Amazon are pointing out that it's actually $139.
Yeah, so that, and actually that,
$109.
That conversion compared to many is actually pretty good.
Yeah, and there's all the they've pointed out the sales tax as well, that it's in America that you don't see on that web price either, so it sounds about right. But as you said, it feels a bit meh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess once I think the problem with Kindles are that once you've got one, there doesn't seem to be the desire to or the need to really keep upgrading. And that's the problem they've got. They're selling these devices, but they're actually pretty sorted devices. So once you've got one, and do you really need another one? I guess there might be a quick turnover as far as they're not going to break the bank. They're not hugely expensive things. They're still very, very good gifts.
I did some market research before tonight's podcast.
Ooh, how exciting.
Exactly. I asked a Kindle owner at work who has bought over 200 Kindle books.
Wow. You know,
so he is a heavy user. So I asked him if he was interested in any of these new ones. And he went, no, because I prefer the Kindle app on my iPad now that I've got a Retina display.
Okay.
Which I was stunned. But just the flexibility of having that plus more. And having a richer interface for the books, you know, and you know, being able to jump amongst different things. And I think if Kindle Fire had come out, he would have been maybe slightly more tempted. But yeah, I mean, he's totally bought into the Kindle. Doesn't care about iBooks. It's all about Kindle. Just because you can get them everywhere. So he's totally still bought into Kindle, but no interest in these whatsoever.
Yeah, and I haven't actually even used my Kindle for a while now, so it's time to be like the books on my shelves. Maybe just add it to the pile. But yeah, okay, anyway, if you're interested, that's out now and available on Amazon.
Do you think we're going to get the Kindle Fire?
What's that?
Do you think we'll get the Kindle Fire?
I'm not sure we will. I mean, I guess they're waiting until they can do all the content that they want to do. But I think our market around here is just a bit too fragmented to make it worthwhile yet, I would say.
I also put in a slight postscript. Jeff Bezos, who founded and owns Amazon, also runs Bezos Expeditions, and he posted today that he's finally found the Apollo 11 F1 engines that were used in 1969 and fell into the ocean.
Right, so the ones that came off the rocket.
Yep. And he now plans to raise them. Don't worry, taxpayers, he says, in America, I'll pay for all this. And
what's he going to do with them?
Well, because NASA still owns them, He believes NASA will take the first one, but he's hoping he gets permission if he gets a second one up, that will go into the one of the aero museums in Seattle. He's a big space nut, and I guess, see, if you've got loads of money, this is what you can do.
Yeah, there's a lot more things that I'd do with a lot of money before that.
Bill Gates cures malaria. Jeff Bezos hunts for some engines. I mean, and these are pretty deep down. There's 14,000 feet below the surface.
Yeah, that's
a long way down. It's not quite James Cameron.
No, no. I didn't even realise we could go along the bottom with a human, but obviously we can. So yeah, I don't know how big that trench is, but it's awfully deep.
Not big enough for James Cameron.
Talking about ebooks, Harry Potter finally come on sale, but in not just through the normal channels. So there's actually a dedicated website that does what is doing all the sales for it called Pottermore. which is, I guess, it's the only book that you have to go to a dedicated website to actually go and get, as far as I can tell.
And all I can say is, what a greedy bitch. She's already made so much money.
She's got rocket engines she wants to raise up. It's one of those things, you know, she's just, you know, raking it in, but I guess good on her. She's done very well.
So as you say, you have to jump in Pottermore. Although there's links in Amazon. So you go to amazon.co.uk,
but it just
pushes
you out, right?
It pushes you to Pottermore. And seemingly all Amazon are getting is some sort of affiliate link type kickback. So they're not getting their usual.
How weird is that? Harry Potter's so big that Amazon is the affiliate.
and I think it just shows you the power.
Yeah.
The only one that's not caved is iBooks. They ain't touching this.
So you could via iBook. Yeah. Well, I guess they would be on iBooks if iBooks let you buy things externally, but they just don't, do they? And then they need their cuts.
And so they've said no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But fair play. I guess, but are people going to buy this?
Of course they are.
Do you think?
Yeah. And there's also the audiobooks. How good are the audiobooks if you're traveling on holiday with kids or whatever?
£170.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But then again, there is massive DVD box sets that cost an awful lot of money as well. It depends who reads them and how well they're done, doesn't it? But
was it not Stephen of the Fry? Was he not reading them?
Oh, I don't know. But yeah, the audiobooks are out as well. So you can pretty much have it on any device except for iBooks. And if you're interested, there you go, Pottermore. If you want to make a Pottermore website, you can, and you can locate it in Scotland. Oh, yes.
There should be some bagpipes in the background.
There should be right now. Because .scot has been approved, basically. Everyone's given...
In fact, I'm in an interruption tonight. Did you see the bagpipe playing unicycling Darth Vader?
I didn't. It sounds incredible.
Yeah. It wasn't Darth Vader, but he was playing the Darth Vader tune on bagpipes.
I haven't seen it.
On a unicycle.
You should be on a website with .scot. Basically, all the approvals that are needed to create this new top-level domain have been given, including a nod from someone in Scotland to say, yep, go ahead, apparently.
Okay.
And someone is stumping up the nearly £117,000 it takes to actually get one. But like we said, I think before, on the grand scheme of things, it's actually not a great deal of money. There you go. And you'll be able to register .scot probably for some horrendous amount of money.
I'm probably going to buy Brian a .scot domain just because of our draw something incident.
Eat my .scot. So many possibilities.
Hoots mon .scot.
and other things. In fact, yeah, we should start thinking up some. Friends reunited. Now, there's a little phrase we haven't heard for a little while. But they're back. Or they're going to be back. Bigger and better and bolder and brasher and ultimately likely to fail, I would say.
I think everybody when this was announced said it was fail.
Friends Reunited was definitely, in the UK, it was the first social network that we had. It was, and it had a lot of users. I think at its peak, what was it, some 15 million users, something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say 15 or 19. It was loads.
And for the time, and when the internet, again, it was a little while back, so the internet wasn't quite as pervasive. It was the kind of first thing that actually got my mum and dad interested in the internet, in that they just saw that, oh, there are people I know there from my past.
And it spawned Jeans Reunited and a whole lot of other things.
A whole ton of different things, yes. But it just never hit that sweet spot because MySpace and Facebook came along and stole their thunder and now do everything that they did plus much, much more. And obviously all these things live or die by the number of users. And since we thought 17 million was a lot, but actually when we get up to, you know, half a billion and stuff like that for Facebook, it puts it into perspective. Now they're trying to do different things. They're trying to make it like a memory box, almost like a scrapbooking type thing where you can put up your memories and stuff. But the problem is, whatever they do, it's going to take Facebook a little while just to replicate. Even if they come up with something completely innovative, take Facebook about, you know, few of their man hours to develop something to compare with it, and just because they've got all the users, it blows them out the water again.
I think it's dead. I don't think anybody, especially as they said, it's free at the moment, but they'll look at some innovative ways of charging. And it's funny, I just looked at Wikipedia there. You're right about the 15 million. Mm. So it launched in 2000. By the end of 2000, it was 3,000 users. By the end of 2001, it was 2.5 million. So that went through, considering it was 2000, 2001, that was a fairly
In internet terms, that's huge, you know, time massive. Ago, and that's massive stuff.
By 2005, it was 15 million, and that's when they sold it on to ITV.
Yeah.
And what a bad buy that was.
Yeah, so ITV bought it for 175 million and sold it for 25.6. That's not.
And I've got no interest in this whatsoever.
No, I mean, again, why would you? It's gone. But then again, it's one of those brands that hasn't disappeared. Everyone still remembers it in the UK. Friends United is still ingrained, so maybe they could do something else with it. Excitement time, everyone. Ian,
it's my one more thing. There's a new web service launched. Ooh. Which actually gives you a physical thing made out of it. It's called Shitter.
Shitter.
So if you go to getshitter.com, enter in your Twitter account details, and they will take one or more feeds from your Twitter account and turn it into four rolls of toilet paper and deliver it straight to your door. I think that is awesome.
You can wipe your ass with your Twitter stream. Excellent.
You can, or my Twitter stream. So you could wipe Brilliant. Your ass with my tweets.
Oh, I did notice this picture actually. I've someone put it into Facebook. I didn't realize what it was, and this is brilliant. How much do they charge for four rolls?
I was going to say we'll get some digital outbox ones made up, but I think that'd be one sheet.
Yeah, we're not particularly good at feeding out on that, are we? No.
No.
Excellent. Okay. I mean, that does sound good. It's definitely good present situation.
I'm logging in. What the hell?
Why wouldn't you?
It's a bit like my app buying right now. I'm on about it and then it's like... Oh.
Just press the button. Bye, bye, bye.
It's $35 plus shipping and taxes.
Shipping to the UK, £1 million. Yeah.
You can't. Each order is for four rolls. For larger orders, drop us a line. Because I can see companies doing this. You know, like
yeah.
So which feed would you like? So I can pick my own feed, or I can pick somebody else's, and I can do tweets, timeline, favorites as well. So you could get all your favorites.
There you go.
Or you could pick a list. So I could pick my widgets list so I could find out what all the pikeys around about me are saying.
Excellent. So I haven't got a pick this week. And seeing as you've just given us getshitter.com. but you do have other picks. As you said, you've been manically buying things.
Yes. So I think I should have the pick health warning on the first one, and it just came out today. So,
so in-depth review, much use. Okay, got you.
It's invaluable. It's the best app I've ever got. It's for the iPad, and it's an app called Paper, and it's from 53.com. I had never heard of them before. They got a great review on The Verge yesterday, And basically you fire up the app and you're presented with three Moleskine notebooks, and you open one up and you've got a blank piece of paper.
That's it.
There is no UI and that's it. If you swipe up from the bottom of the app, however, you can pick from five different tools. And it's a free app. The slight disappointment is four of the tools are locked. You need to buy them. So that was a bit of a jar.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, I ain't buying for these.
And then
2 minutes later, Shaq was like, you're so tight. And you went, you're right. And I pressed the buy button. So,
I don't like this propensity for apps to sort of hide, you know, try limited. I don't know. It's a bit sneaky.
I don't mind that so much. I have got a game which was a paid for game and then had ads in the game and said, if you buy one of our in-app purchases, it removes the ads.
Yeah, it's like, and I've just paid
bought
for
the game. Yeah. That's a bit sneaky. Anyway, back to paper.
Yes, back to paper.
What's really nice is actually the tools themselves are really well done. It's very simple. All you can do is choose the tool. There's no messing around with sizes, and you choose some colours. And from that, you get a really nice, actually works really well. Works really well with the finger, but I tried it tonight with a stylus, and it's lovely. This could be my go-to little take a sketch, save it away type application. Because a lot of the other ones I've got quite cluttered. I've got zoom in areas and typing, and
I've seen your sketches, though. They're probably not worth keeping.
Yeah, but there's I guess there's still... You swine. I can't wait for Draw Something updates to come out, and I will.
I forgot you had a stylus. That doesn't make things
I've
any better.
I've never used a stylus in Draw Something. Okay. The only stylus I use is that one.
That's not your index finger.
And ladies and gentlemen, was my finger. The app itself works really quickly, looks really clean. When I do the review of this, I'll do the image that Shaquille did tonight on it. It was gorgeous.
Cool.
And Shaq's got a bit of graphic talent. I know you'd never look at it. You know, if you looked at our website, you'd think, where was that hidden? That's because you couldn't be arsed doing any logos and I had to do them. So, I think this is a really nice app.
Cool.
And again, there's a slight trend at the moment of focusing on content and not UI. You know, if you look at the to-do app, Clear, which was just focus on the stuff you're putting in and hiding all that UI, there seems to be a kind of two camps forming, where you've got a kind of Apple view of let's bound it in leather, pretend leather and ripped pages, and other focus saying, actually, no, just give yourself, make best use of the tool that you've got. And this is one of them. I think this is really good.
Yeah, people are now starting to expect that UI is hidden, but it's still a bugbear of mine that there are no hints sometimes that things are available, and it means that you don't.
iPhoto is one of the best apps on the iPad, and it's the most horrendous to use because the buttons don't mean anything to me.
No, and it's
I look at it and every time I use it, I have to press the help. What's it? Oh,
Apple removing scroll bars from Windows was just stupid, as far as I can see. And that's just something.
Funnily, I've not missed that.
There's plenty of times that I miss when if you're using an old mouse and the scroll bars have disappeared, there's no way you can actually scroll a page without actually, you know, left right scroll is impossible.
Okay,
there's
fair enough.
Anyway, it's frustrating. But anyway, that's by the by. Anyway, so that's paper, and it's 53.com. That's the words 53.com.
Yeah, and I've got a nice kind of hipster demo video of what you can go and do if you've got a bit of talent.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's free. It's no harm in downloading it and giving it a whirl.
With your one tool.
With your one tool. But the one tool is a kind of fountain pen, which works really nicely. And I don't know if it's just a retina thing, but I found that my notes were not just I could take a lot more detail. So I must go and try some of the other apps that I've got and just see if it's the retina that's making the difference.
Excellent.
And my second one is a bit of a throwaway one, but it's WinMap. So this was all around interwebs today. So hint.fm/wind, and it's a great visualization of the current wind flows in America. So it takes a wee while to load up. It's best viewed in Chrome because it's a sensible browser.
Yes, I see.
And
that's accurate, is it?
Within the last hour.
Wow, that's incredible.
So it's getting basically a great feed of data, and they are based in America. The reason it is an American map is they've managed to get the data. And they're more than happy if somebody can give them data for all different places around the world that they want to do this for other places around the world. And it just looks phenomenal.
Central America's in a bit of a pickle at the moment, isn't it?
but just keep zooming in, you know, and you can zoom in and zoom in, and it's just more and more, and it's like, oh, yeah, visuals, data.
You do like your mashup data, don't you?
I do nothing with it, but I love them.
There's some incredible patterns going on here. It's just unbelievable.
It's geek porn.
Yeah, it really is. That's a very good porn description. Oh, I could look at that for hours. But I haven't got time to do that now. I need to go and eat. So,
well, I just think that would make a great screensaver.
Very good, yeah. Make it happen. Engage.
Hold on.
Nice. That's the end of the podcast. So thanks for listening. As ever, if you want to find out more, you can do on digitaloutbox.com. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com and Twitter and Skype. We are Digital Outbox. You can find me, if you would like to, on Twitter's Cheesy UK. And Ian, what about yourself?
I am iand.net is my blog. Sweeper is my Twitter handle. And I am Sweeper on Draw Something.
Excellent.
Bring it.
Yeah, you don't want to miss his drawings.
Yeah, we're on a 60-something run.
Struggled. Clam. No, clam was not good. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Speak to you then. Bye.
Bye. The best bit about clam is I just want to say that you got a fried egg from a turd.
I actually wrote crap because that's what I thought it was. A big pile of crap. I add the letters, I put them in.